Go ahead with.
Yes, first let me say that it is 6:35 p.m. Wednesday, July 10th, 2024, and I am calling to order this meeting of the WPFW local station board. And yes, please call the roll.
Anita? Irene, I'm okay. Irene. Irene, I see her on there, so she's there. She's muted. I'll come back. Karen Briggs.
I'm here.
Vanessa.
Here.
Verna.
That's
I
Verna
don't
now.
see.
That's Verna coming
Okay.
in right now.
Okay. Wayne Bruce.
He said in the chat his mic is not working, but he's here. Yes.
Michael Byfield.
He is here.
Yes, present.
Bill. Bill, I don't see him. Is he here? Violetta?
Here.
Wanda?
Here.
Sue?
Here.
Robert?
Here.
Donna? I'll come back. Kamal?
Just walked in.
I am here. Thank you.
Okay. Arthur is excused. Andrew? Andrew? Okay. Ambrose? Ambrose? Okay, Patrick Morrison is excused. Tony Leon?
Yep, present.
Mara? Mariah, I'm sorry. Mariah?
Present.
Ron?
Here.
Minerva?
Present.
Adele?
Here.
And Dennis.
I'm here.
Okay, I'll go back. Verna, has she come in yet?
I'm present. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And you skipped me, Ellen. I am here.
No, you're on
Who
mute.
Just said that? Who was that who just said I skipped you?
It's Irene. You were coming back to me.
Oh, yeah, I did get you because okay. I have you. Bill Curtis. I don't see him. Have you heard from him, Dennis?
I have not.
Okay. Donna. Andrew. Ambrose. Okay.
Okay, I'll keep an eye out.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Call to order. Okay, so thank you, everybody. First item is to approve the agenda. Are there any objections to approving the agenda as sent? Hearing none, the agenda is approved for this evening. Are there any objections to approving the minutes from the gym meeting?
I do.
Yes. Okay.
At the last meeting, there was a substantial discussion in regards to a preemption of the Friday shows, and that is not reflected in the agenda.
Okay.
In the minutes.
Sorry, in the minutes.
Yeah. All right. We can hold off approving the June minutes until the next meeting. If you would like to work with the secretary to supply the missing information in the interim.
Yes. I looked on the website for the recording of this, of the meeting, and it wasn't there. Is there a recording of the meeting? And that way I can get an accurate.
Yes, it's on the KPFTX website.
Okay. I think I looked there, but I will check again and let you know.
I was on it within the last 3 or 4 days and saw it.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We will hold approval of the June minutes until next month. And, we will then move to our, report from the interim general manager. Miyuki, are you here?
I am here.
Take it away.
Take it away.
About 15 minutes for this.
I don't think it'd be that long. But anyway, good evening, everyone. Thank you for being here and doing all the work. I wanted to let you know the focus since I last saw you is the relocation. That's the major focus because Bernstein, who had initially informed me that they were going to extend our stay through December 2025 if we would like, changed their minds. Now they want us out December 2024. And so I'm really striving to get us out by September 30th so we don't have to pay them another $51,000 for the last quarter. So just accelerating the work that's on the relocation committee. So we'll find out more tomorrow. The relocation committee was changed from today to tomorrow. I'm sure the chair will have more details about all that, but I just wanted to let people know that the dynamic has changed significantly. LSB member Arthur Hyland took me to a property in Ballston in Virginia. And it was lovely and the pricing is very good. I don't know where we are. And this is more, again, more of a committee discussion, but just in general, where many people would be about feeling about going to Virginia. But if it's an issue of dollars and cents and geography, we'll have to figure it out. Again, relocation information, just sharing with you. This intensifies our need for funding. We already had on our schedule tomorrow, the Ellington 125, which Sataria or Katil will go more in detail about. But we have an upcoming drive August 11th through the 24th. In between there, we have several different events. Again, and I apologize because I need to send out the email and for us to meet again, but all events have to be coordinated through Robin Holden because it'll be chaos if one person doesn't manage all of that in terms of what PSAs go on, when they go on, when all the different events are scheduled so they're not on top of each other, we can give them all proper promotion. Currently, we are under a consent decree from the FCC, and as a result of that consent decree of what's something that WBAI did 2 years ago, we're under compliance training, and that means all the programmers have to be trained in compliance before they're allowed to go back up on air. And I'm very proud to say that WPFW is number one in getting the highest percentage of programmers involved. John has to train over 900 programmers. He's at about 60%, but PFW is at about 88% or so. So we're doing pretty well. There's a few stragglers that will get in there as soon as possible. And then we'll have done our part and we won't have to worry about anyone getting suspended or air changing due to those reasons. But more importantly, they've changed the dynamic on how we can promote different things on air. And so that's just a later discussion, but it almost hampered us for the reggae event, but luckily, the parties involved, Robin, Kim, Zaya, and everyone pulled together and we were able to have a pretty much sold out event. The report on that won't be ready. Sataria will give it, but it won't be ready till next meeting because it's just closed on Sunday and all the monies haven't come in. But the point being, even though we were, partially impaired by the rules, the new restrictions, we were still able to get a large group of people who happily participated, had a great time. It's just an understatement to say that they were there and had a great time, because they were. Thank you to all you LSB members who purchased tickets, even though some of you weren't able to come, but we really appreciate the support. And I think the audience, I mean, they talked about it candidly. They appreciate having the reggae event more than having on-air funding, which we're going to do again tomorrow, but we do appreciate that. Wanted to also let you know we're lowering the power, decreasing 50,000 watts, doing it something lower, apparently is helping our electric bill. The previous month it was $8,000. This last month it was $9,100. I was very disappointed because I thought it would be low, but lower. But Mo pointed out to me it was a hotter month and that the bill has been as high as $15,000. And so still $9,100 is a staggering amount of electricity to pay on a monthly basis. I had a person come over to see whether solar was an option. It doesn't seem like it's going to be very beneficial for us. For when I told him the bill, he said we would need almost a football field worth of sunlight to generate that kind of electricity. So we only have I think like a 10 by 10 building. And so he's supposed to give me some stats. I mean, even if it's $200, and if I can get it in for free, it'll be worth it. But right now, it just doesn't look very promising in terms of long-term savings for us. Still reviewing phones and internet with the other engineer. The phones and internet are extremely high. We're about four times what the other network stations are, but working on it, trying to reduce it. I want to really say appreciation for the team of people, the paid staff, well, everybody, but the paid staff is working really hard. They're trying not to incur overtime. They're using their vacation or their other times in order to make sure everything's covered, but they're not going to go over budget. And some people are just working and not reporting all the time and everything. And of course, our volunteers are volunteering even more. So thank you for that. And again, thank you for all the members of LSB and the community. Come in and help us. We are not going to repair the air conditioner. I had someone to give an estimate on how much he thought it would cost to repair it. He said it could be anywhere from $3,000 to $20,000. It would cost more money for him to still to find out how much more. Mo came and brought a bunch of fans in to accommodate the space. But right now I'm just requiring everyone not to have to be in there all the time. The engineers and the programmers are okay because there's a one unit in the studio to keep them cool most of the time. However, it's terrible in terms of sound. You can hear it because I forget to turn it off and this is loud air conditioning noise, but we don't have that many alternatives. So we're working on, I'm not going to work on it because we hope to be out of there in 3 months. And it just doesn't make any sense to invest money that it doesn't go anywhere. The building itself is not responsible for it, even though it went out after the building's air conditioner went out. But however, our contract was written up, we're independently responsible for the air conditioner. And therefore, at this point, I'm just not asking for it to be repaired. We've had a problem with call-ins, and call-ins is a very important part of WPFW and what we do on air. And I had two major writers and reporters inform me that WPFW is their cheat sheet that they listened to through the course when they were reporting to find out where the news beat would be or what's important in the Washington. So we have the, you know, very smart, intuitive listeners. But anyway, so the phones are not working consistently or at all. They cost $1,800 each. The engineers has ordered one. I was able to rent one for $400. He's going to try to repair the one we have. And if he's able to repair the one we have, then we won't have to spend $1,800 on getting a new one. But right now, that's the strategy. The only thing is, you know, they've been down. They try to repair it. They work. Then they would stop working. So it's been a week since last Sunday. And I thought every couple of days, I think it's going to be up. The place in Cleveland has sent the phone over. I'm supposed to get it tomorrow. The engineers promised to go with me tomorrow afternoon, tomorrow night, hopefully get that phone in. And if that rental works, then we'll be okay until we replaces the other one, the original one. So again, I ask the programmers to make sure they tell the listeners that we appreciate them. We need them. But at this juncture, we just don't have reliable phones. Now, if it's a guest or something, we can call out and most of the time the phones will work okay. But when people call in, they get one ring and then it sounds like the phone's not working. And if the engineer doesn't see it in that moment that the phone's ringing, they'll miss it and it doesn't ring anymore. So anyway, so that's getting repaired hopefully soon. Want to thank Vinny for doing the social media, Satari for getting mailings and billings out, and Katia for getting the training and everything. But we need more help in terms of volunteers on those things, if at all possible. Want to say that we cleaned up the office pretty well. We cleaned up before the open house, but we had pledge sheets from 2000 in boxes, because we couldn't just throw them away in trash because they have sensitive information that was 20 years old written on them. But we got rid of all that extra paper, a lot of things that are going to be thrown away anyway in the move. And now there's a bunch of phones that have been thrown away, but there's a lot of things that we've already started clearing out, and we'll continue to do so there won't be a massive move when we leave, and we're not taking any junk when we go. I also want to let you know that, okay, so I already mentioned the challenges right now, special events, they really have to be coordinated so we're not stepping on top of each other. We have, again, the drives coming up, August 11th to 24th. We really appreciate your support, both answering phones and contributing and getting your friends to contribute. And that's all I have for now. I appreciate your time and attention.
Thanks, Miyuki. Vanessa, I see your hand, but first, Ellen, please take note that Bill Curtis has entered the building. Okay, Vanessa.
Okay, Miyuki, thank you for the report. Two questions. One, you said that the FCC regulations made it more challenging to promote an event. Could you just provide a bit more detail about that? Sure. And the other thing is, I feel like I missed something with this $1,800 phone. What is this phone?
Okay, yeah. Okay, so first, the FCC, Federal Communications Commission, has put a consent decree on us because of Gary Null in BAI was reported basically for selling things on air. And so we cannot sell things on air like we used to. I don't know if you heard when Robin and I cut the first reggae concert promo, it was like, hey, this is Robin. Hey, this is Miyuki. We invite you to a reggae fest, and you can come and have a cool drink, and you can dance, and we can't do anything other than say, go to the website and get details that a reggae fest is happening to help WPFW. It takes place at this address, and that's it. We can't do a lot of qualitative language to embellish or to try to sell it. We can't sound like a commercial. So that's what that they required. The other thing, by the way, which I forgot to mention earlier, and Satara might later, I'm going to encourage programmers not to provide thank you gifts because the executive director wants to get proactive so that we don't have any problems with the Federal Trade Commission, because apparently thank you gifts are supposed to go out 30 days from within after they've been paid for. And so we're a little bit behind in those things. So in order to be more proactive, I'm going to really – Satari is working on trying to make sure that we are caught up on all our thank you gifts, or that if we're not, we will be, but also to diminish taking any more. But anyway, back to the consent decree. So Vanessa, before I could say, okay, there's a peace march this Saturday, I hope to see you there. I can't say that. I can't do a call to action, because if someone goes to that peace march that I talked about on the air and they get injured or something, they could say Pacifica sent me to that peace march. So we can't do anything with a call of action, whether it's a peace march or whether it's a great book signing of a brilliant so-and-so or our own event. And the second question was, I don't know if you listen, but there's some shows that really depend on call-ins, you know, the audience calling in and saying XYZ and participating, contributing. Well, the phones haven't been working since last Sunday. And they haven't worked consistently, and they were down completely, and they'd be able to jiggle it back together a little bit. Those phones that you can put on air that, you know, get people in the line 1, 2, 3, 4, so you can queue them up, these cost $1,800 each. So rather than try to buy one and replace one, I'm trying to get the old one fixed. I'm renting one for 3 weeks for $400 in hopes that the parts and the repair will cost less than $1,800.
Thank you, Miyuki.
You're welcome.
Okay, Ron, Sue, and Verna.
Okay, how you doing, Miyuki?
I'm good. How are you?
I know you're busy generating your own heat. But two questions. Number one, regarding the phones, is there any way to notify the programmers when those phones are out so that, you know, they can prepare.
Ron, I notified people right away starting Saturday. I notified people 4 days. I said it was at the top of the, unless you're not on the email list, I sent out for 4 days in a row.
Okay. I did not see it, but that could be me not being on the list.
Yeah, just let's double check because I sent it out 4 days and I stopped sending out the same message because I figured Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, the people had seen it. People complained that I had too many emails. I try to minimize, you know, the multitudes mm-hmm. that I send. So I sent it out.
Appreciate four, that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's it. Thanks.
Okay.
Sue.
Yes, Miyuki, you mentioned that our phone usage and internet usage was significantly higher than other stations.
Almost
what accounts
times.
For that?
I'm not sure. I'm trying to find out. And again, I'm working with both Mo and the current emergency engineer, Frenchie. But Markeisha, who does all our bills, she has the ability to look at everybody's bills, and she's doing it all for us. She says we're about four times everybody else. I know, but it's standard to have separate phones, having two sources of phones and internet, just in case one falls out or the other, according to Mo. But still, whatever we have. So, for example, our office phones, 202-588-0999, we have four or five extensions after that, and there's nobody in the office. So that's a waste of money of phones that we're paying. So I'm going to get rid of those, whatever they're, $13 or $50. I don't even remember. I'm still trying to analyze and go through those. Those we can get rid of. The other expensive phones are the ARC telecommunication phones, which is the phone we use their internet, but we also use their phones for drives and stuff. So we have a lot of lines associated with, you know, the ARC communication, so we can have a lot of people answering phones for the drive.
Okay, thank you. That helps.
All right, Verna Avery Brown will have the last question for this segment.
Okay, Miyuki, good evening, Miyuki, and thank you for all of your hard work. Quick question. I'm wondering, have we seen a copy of this consent decree that the FCC has imposed on us? Because, you know, just an average listener, it seems like we are under restrictions that other public radio stations are not really under. And I'm wondering if we can have our attorneys consider that and maybe there can be some sort of a adjustment made.
Yeah, I have not seen it, Verna, but I can certainly ask if we could get a copy of it if you'd like to see it. I think too, the issue is we were such an egregious violator of it. I don't know if you recall when, Gary Noah's on our airs back in 2014 or 15, Michelle Price Johnson took him off our air, and just said that because he was just selling things. And so that's why, but they kept him on, WBAI for a very long time. The issue is right now, well, there's a couple of issues. Our license is coming up in a couple of years. So we don't want to have anything hanging over our head because we have a license review coming up. The other thing is if we violate this, we get charged a fee or get charged damages and someone can get suspended. And because we're under this consent decree, they have people assigned to us to listen. The other thing that John seems to be very concerned about is how the election may go and the way that 45 is getting so much power and freedom. So if he can stack people in the FCC with all of his people, he could easily say, okay, no more anti-MAGA thing, no more anti-Palestinian. He could, you know, they could do whatever and then just find us and take us off the air. So he wants us the pendulum has gone so far to the other side. And again, I think it's better that we're correct than not. I think that it's important that we all learn, being all of us, learn how to do it correctly and then just go ahead and do so. I think I've been saying for some time that we should not be using thank you gifts, that every pledge, every pitch has to do with the glory and the tremendous and the gift of WPFW itself. It's the music that it provides, the ideas that it puts forth, the energy that it puts out, whether it be love or education or entertainment. It's WPFW that we have to uplift and convince people that it's worth supporting. And they know that. I wish, if nothing else, just to see the response and the reaction of the people in the room when we get together, there is just an overflow of appreciation and love for the station, for the work that is done. So, I hear you in terms, yeah, it's very, very strict. The lawyers have been, I mean, there's a lawyer that's very expensive who's an FCC lawyer that's working and doing it. I don't think they're going to back off anytime soon for those reasons. The review, the fact that we could easily get fined. I think it's like $10,000 a pop, the fine. And we, you know, of course, you know, we can't afford that. And then the upcoming election. So again, be better safe than sorry, be as accurate as we can, and then stay within those guidelines.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Thank you, Miyuki. Is Katia
here? I'm right here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yep. Okay, hey. You're on.
All right, thank you. Good evening, everyone. Just to piggyback on what Miyuki said, well, I'll start with that, I guess. The compliance work has been really a lot. It's a lot. And we still have a few stragglers. We're about 80% there. The good news is that until everyone is trained, no one will be sanctioned or put off the air for saying the wrong thing. Once everyone gets trained, however, there is no first time, second time, third time. The first time you violate the compliance rules, you're gone. So, you know, and in terms of the $10,000, Miyuki is right. Not only does the station get fined, but the programmer would get fined as well. So we really have to be very careful there. So the compliance thing is a lot. We just turned in our quarterly report for this quarter. It's every 3 months. So we did the second quarterly report. We have had special programming. We had July 4th just a few days ago, which was very successful. I don't know. Some of you might know Penny Gamble Williams, Mark Carey's mother, but she sent me a text stating how much she appreciated our programming, specifically in the morning. We played, of course, Frederick Douglass's What to the Negro is the 4th of July. And we followed that with a piece on Empire by the late Sekou Sundiata. It's a multimedia theater piece. And then I think we did some poetry in there or whatever. But Miyuki is right. People really do rely on WPFW for certain things. We even had a situation when we could not broadcast the last major Palestinian march because we just didn't have the resources to do so. We just couldn't do it. We had a listener, a longtime supporter, really upset that we didn't do it. And we certainly got her frustration. She explained later that it was like her children were supposed to take her down there and no one took her down there. But the point is that she really relies on WPFW for that kind of thing. And, you know, if you look at just Palestine or even Congo or Sudan or what's happening, you know, around this crime bill here in D.C., we are really the ones that report that kind of thing. So we are very important in that way, and we can't afford to be shut down. Because if we're shut down, there's a lot of information that will just not get to the listeners, not only in our signal area, but who stream us across the country. We also did our coverage, and I wanted, my hat is off to Suzanne Malvo. I was thinking of the other Malvo, Julian, Sue Goodwin, Chris Banger Drowns, Kalia. They did a phenomenal job covering the Poor People's Campaign and airing the Moral March on Washington. So I want to thank all of them. We have the two conventions coming up. We haven't decided. So we're going to be taking Democracy Now's coverage of those conventions, RNC and DNC, just because it is well packaged. We don't have the resources to do it. And so it's best, and we want to take something. We'll be airing the RNC convention coverage at 11 a.m. Monday through Friday, starting on Monday, this coming Monday, the 15th. It'll be Democracy Now! They are packaging 2 hours. So the first hour will be their regular show. The second hour will be their convention coverage. We're breaking it up. We're going to play it during our 11 a.m. slots. Those programmers have all been informed. And then we haven't decided when we'll play what time of the day we'll play the DNC coverage. But we want to play it earlier in the day because if it's any time after noon or one, people will have heard what happened. Although I will say they wouldn't have the perspective that Democracy Now! And Pacifica, WPFW, would bring to it. But we are planning to cover those. At this juncture, looking forward, not forward, but looking ahead. We're not looking forward to election night, but we are looking ahead. We will probably produce our election night coverage locally. Sue and Chris and I will be getting together to talk about that. I had a long conversation with Julian today, who would be willing to help with the anchoring. I'm sure there are other programmers that will do that as well. We have some holes to fill in our programming grid that we're working on. We had a really beautiful show on mindfulness that we were talking to someone about, but unfortunately they had things come up in their lives that don't allow them to move forward with it. However, today I got an email from a high school student, and I just seen Kenny Carroll to talk about the reboot of a youth program, because in the past it's been very popular. Many of you might remember Kenny, who started our 2K Nation program, and we tried at various points to bring it back. We had some modicum of success, but it wasn't continuous. So I did talk to Kenny's son about rebooting that. And then I got an email from a high school student in PG County that is starting with a group of people, young people at the high school, podcast on the hardships that young people face. So that looks very promising. There's also the possibility of a trade unionist show following in the slot that follows our labor program right now. So that would be 2 p.m. Thursdays, because we really haven't had a trade unionist show since Bill Fletcher left us. So we are we're working on those things. And of course, we have Ellington 125 tomorrow. We have a wonderful group of programmers assembled who will do great work. And Miyuki and Sataria made sure we had a beautiful gift, or a few beautiful gifts. And that's just what she's talking about. The way I just talked about it, right? I said we have a beautiful gift. You can no longer use descriptive words like that. They are considered inducements. So I can say we have an Ellington 125 gift. Please visit the website to find out more, right? But I cannot go on and on about the artist, about the work, about anything like that. That is what's changed. And what makes it really hard to convey the passion about something that should be there. We have to be rather dispassionate. And Verna, I'm with you. I listen to AMU as well. And I hear them saying all manner of calls to action, describing things in great detail. So we are not being held to the same standard as other public radio stations. But again, it's because we are in trouble. I'm in the process now, per mandate from Miyuki, of coming up with a pledge drive theme for the summer drive. So that'll be coming out sometime this week. And I think that's it for me. I'm open to any and all questions.
Okay. Thanks, Katia. Vanessa, you're up first.
Hey, Katia. Thank you so much for the report. Two questions. You said the programmers, if they commit an error, that they would be individually subjected to a $10,000 fine in addition to the station?
That's what it has been in the past, that the station gets fined, but the individual gets fined as well.
Wow. Okay. And the other thing, I just wanted to more maybe clarify, because you and Miyuki are speaking in terms of we, which is completely understandable because you're doing a report about this station. But I just wanted to make it clear, if it's not, for anybody who's listening, that this is a network-wide prohibition, or whatever the correct word is, this consent decree, because one station was reported to have done something wrong. Now all the Pacifica stations are subjected to this, so it's certainly not just us.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I didn't never meant to give
I know you didn't. It's no criticism whatsoever. I just wanted to, you know, just make it really, really clear that the we is the network we, not the PFW we.
It absolutely is the network we. And John said to me, like, look, you all are the least of our worry. You all have always done things great, so we're not worried about you. If I can just elaborate, though, some of you might remember, I'm sure Ron and some people who've been here for a minute remember, that this way of pitching with Gary Knoll at one point was forced on us by the PNB and the national office, because they would send Tony Bates and Christine Blasdale to various stations to do just this kind of pitching of things, including sending them here to DC. We had to pay each of them $5,000 to help us pitch every time they helped us pitch these things. So yes, the network got in trouble, but the network was the one that started this form of pitching, just to be clear.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Irene.
Good evening. I just wanted to clarify that you're saying that all folks who are doing programming on the radio must be trained. And I just want to clarify, because Bill and I still need to be trained, if Bill and I still need to be trained as we do the LSB show.
So Irene, John sent a reply saying at this time he was not training you all. He replied to that request. And he's not training anyone who is not a regular, meaning weekly programmer at any of the stations. Because as you heard from Miyuki, he's trained over 900 and he still has people to go. So at this juncture, you and Bill will not be trained.
So
That's not me saying that. That is John L. Mella's decision.
Is that who is being paid to train?
Yes, he is the compliance officer. Yes.
So what's 5 people in the class compared to 20 people in the class?
I can't respond for John L. Mella. I can't go into his thinking. I can tell you only what he told me, Yuki and I.
Okay.
Which is what he did.
I just want to be clear that the station won't be fined or whatever if Bill and I are speaking on the air.
Well, I would hope that you've heard what was said, right? I mean, the thing about the LSB show, you all don't pitch a gift. So it's hard for you to have an inducement without pitching a gift. I think you all also know better at this juncture that if we are doing any event, we can't say, you know, join us, come out. I can't say anymore. I used to say in my PSAs, like, you know, listen to, I can't say that anymore. I got to figure out another way to say it. So I would hope that you all will take some of that and use it. But again, I can't speak for John L. Mella. I sent you and Bill.
But how
his
can
response.
We, do we have recordings of these trainings so that
we can sit and
listen to them? Because we do say on the air that we do announce events.
We announce
our LSB events all the time. And I'd like to have the pattern of what needs to be said.
Okay, Irene, I'm sorry, but you are asking me questions.
I'm asking you as a program director.
But I get my directions on compliance from John L. Mella.
Well, since you don't know, then just don't answer the question. I'll ask him. Thank you. You're being rude. Thank you. You're being rude.
Okay, so.
Hi, Katia.
hi, Viola.
Hi.
Is that your voice?
Forgive me.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
just a few questions about election coverage. Mm-hmm. And, particularly given that WPFW may be under heightened scrutiny, do you think there's a need for some guidelines on election coverage? For example, of course, there should not be a call to action to vote in any particular way, but can we do a call to action simply to vote? Also, what can we say about specific candidates? It's very hard not to be critical of one specific candidate. But should we leave that in the voice of the guest? Do you understand where
we can talk more extensively about
this. Yeah, and I'm happy to help you with this.
Yeah, but John has said we can say vote, right? But we shouldn't say go vote because that's a call to action, right? But if your guest says, if you have a guest on talking about voting, right, the importance of voting, if the guest says something, that's fine. We as hosts shouldn't be saying that. Does that make sense? The host, the anchor, the whatever. If the guest says it, all good, right? And in terms of talking about the candidates, I mean, I think it's fine to criticize. We can't say things that we used to. You know, even Askia used to, God rest his soul, like the orange man, the orange orangutan. We can't do that. We can't call people out of their names. But if we have true criticism that our guest is levying, or even that we bring up in posing a question, that's completely fine. As long as it's balanced, then I've never heard anything coming from our news department or frankly, most of our programmers that wasn't valid. So
if it's rooted in specific policy prescriptions, et cetera, but I'd be happy to work with you if you think, if you think we should have some guidelines.
I think there are guidelines. I'll ask John Amella, but I believe I've seen some election coverage guidelines somewhere. So let me check and then I'll circle back to you. And if I find them, I'll send them on to you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay, I see Miyuki, Ron, and Minerva, and then we will move on.
Thank you. I just wanted to expand on what Katia said and let Bill and Minerva, I checked. You're not in, the LSB show is not going to be doing a fund drive for the summer drive. And I'm not sure about the fall drive yet. But either way, John's focus right now is to get the 900 programmers who are on air constantly to do it. And just so you know, every email that I sent to you in response to the question about being emailed. So he's very aware that you're interested. He's very, he knows that you want to do that, but he asked Katia saying, no, just programmers right now. He's got over 900. One person responsible for 900 is a very challenging situation. So if you can imagine, he's just trying to focus on that because then if he has to do two people from our LSB, he might have to do two, three, whatever more people from other LSBs trying to get what job he has, he's responsible for. As the very astute Nancy in the chat has stated, we were supposed to have this done July 30th. We're not done yet. There's a new pushback late to July 19th. That's what the focus is on. That's what they're going to do with the programmers. So thank you again, for your interest. And again, I think, what do you call it? Need or desire to be trained because you don't want to hurt the station or yourself either. But at this juncture, just please be patient because you. You're not going to go on the air anytime soon.
You froze on us, Miyuki. You froze on us.
A little bit.
Oh, you didn't hear what I said?
Most of it.
What part did you not get, Irene?
The last sentence.
I know that you're not participating in August or September. I don't think in October either. So there's time. But right now, his major directive is to get the active programmers trained, and that's 900 people, which is significant.
Okay. Thank you, Miyuki.
Okay. Ron?
Just a quick question for, Miyuki and, Katia. This new protocol, because of the FCC mandates, the new FCC mandates for us, for Pacifica, you mentioned that programmers will not be given, one, two, or three chances. If they one offense, then they're gone. Now, is that gone as in suspension? Is that gone as in permanently? Programmers would definitely need to know that, that there's a zero tolerance policy. And so that they can be careful. But, being human beings, somebody's going to do that. So my question is that the way it is? Is that the understanding that if you violate one time, that you are gone or potentially gone?
Yes, that is the understanding that that John gave me. That's why he said, like, when we were in our pledge drive and we started all this and we were all freaked out because we knew people were going to not do it right now because they didn't know what to do. He was like, listen, don't worry about it. Calm down. No one's going anywhere right now. But once everyone is trained, and that's, again, not just WPFW. That's every person on Pacifica's air. If they violate it, they will be gone. I would also say, Ron, if I could just say again, PFW is really the least of the worries here. That is from John's mouth, So at this juncture, it does mean your show is gone. You're gone. But we'll have another conversation with John and we'll see. But that is how it is right now. Right now, we're still in the throes of getting everyone trained. Once we get to that and he signs off and says, okay, everyone is good, that's when the clock starts. And we'll certainly inform the programmers again. I think in our first communication about this, by the way, it said something about, it didn't use the word zero tolerance, but it did say something that it could result, a violation could result in you losing your program.
Pitya, I'm sorry, you're going in and out. I don't know why.
I don't know why either. I'm sitting still, but did you hear?
Okay.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, it sounds
cool.
Maybe it's me.
Yeah, thanks, Katia. I do hope that that policy that could be reconsidered once everybody gets trained. You know, taking away a program for one violation is you know.
I agree, Ron. It should. Yeah. I look, I am just the messenger in all of
it. I know. I got you. That's just something that we can advocate for. That's all.
Exactly. Exactly.
Dennis, if I may.
Yes, very, very quickly. And then you should probably turn off your camera. That might help your audio.
Okay. The other thing is we can thank Katia for the zero tolerance policy not being instituted right away. I received that email on May 6th. And it said zero policy right there, and then Katia called right away, so that's not fair. We're getting ready to go to drive. People can't make that turn that quickly. So he reconsidered, and it's been changed. The other thing is there's going to be a fact sheet that's coming out that should help everybody. But, again, this process is flexible. It is living, developing before our eyes, so it's going to take a minute for all of it.
Thank you. Minerva, last question, comment. Michael, I see you. I have to move on after Minerva.
All right. Thank you. Miyuki, you had mentioned that we talked about fund drives, and I think the last LSB meeting, it was mentioned that there were some activities listed, but they did not mention any of the activities that the LSB had been working on, such as the Blues Fest in August and the 5K in September. And excuse me?
It's in Satara's report, the upcoming events.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just went out again.
May I continue speaking, please?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Miyuki, for clearing that up, because you had mentioned that somebody would be meeting with the outreach committee about these, and I think you said Robin, but we have not met with her, so if she's available this evening, would like to set up a time. I'm not the chair, but I'm working with the individuals on these committees. And if we're going to even mention them or have them noted in your fund drive, we would like to make sure that we're in order in terms of presenting it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Sataria, are you here?
I am, but I think, did Michael Byfield?
I said that we're moving on after Minerva.
Okay. I sent you the report for the Tacoma Station Jazz event. First of all, I owe all of you an apology. We discussed this last meeting, so it's a month late. So I do apologize to all of you for that, but it does break down the money for the Tacoma Station Jazz event that happened. The money is still coming in for reggae. I'm working to make sure that it does not take near this long to get you the information for the reggae event. I sent it to Dennis. I also sent it to Ellen. I don't know if it's been distributed as of yet. I'm willing to send it to people directly if you should need it. As you all know, tomorrow we're doing Ellington 125 as our on-air fundraising, midnight to midnight, for the relocation. We're doing a very modest goal, $15,000 for the day as our goal state. But, of course, we want to push people to get as much as they can because, hey, we're WPFW, and if we could figure out how to get, you know, $1 million out of a day, we'd be all excited and happy about that. So I do ask that if any of you have time tomorrow, please feel free to contact Vinny at WPFW Volunteers And let him know what time you want to come in. The only reason why we really ask you to sign up and let us know when you're coming so we know what supplies to have and who to be expecting, that type of thing. If we have someone there who's not familiar with you and, you know, we just want to make sure that everybody's got the information. We ask you, we've got a new cash tag, and a cash tag is how we do for Cash App. So before it was $WPFW. Our new cash tag is $WPFWFM. We had to switch over our account because we had to verify it as a nonprofit. Our old account had not been verified as a nonprofit account. So we just finished that process. So it is going to be an education situation with our audience. We have more opportunities to let people know between now and our next big drive in August. We've got the one day. Katia has already informed the programs who will be on the air tomorrow about the new hashtag, and we'll move forward making sure that people know for the next big one. And we also have a QR code for it that we'll be able to spread out. The next drive, as I mentioned, will be in August. It's our mini drive. It's only 2 weeks. It'll be August 11th through the 24th. So we are looking for volunteers, for the phones. We are looking for, especially need people on the weekends and our high volume times. So that is, in the evenings during the weekdays and weekends. We're really looking for people. So if you have time to set up, we appreciate it. I will be sending out pledge reminders for the pledge drive. Those, you know, basically the bills to say for the people who actually just make pledges and don't pay them right away. People who don't give us credit cards. I'll be doing pledge reminders on August 19th and 26th. I can adjust those dates a little bit if I get a group of people who really want to come in and you like those days don't quite work. I'm willing to kind of work with a group if, you know, to come in and help with that. The next event that we have is WPFW Blues Fest, which is Saturday, August 24th. We're always looking for volunteers for that as well. We need people to help set up backstage. Ms. Turner, as you all know, usually heads up the Blues Fest. She likes to have, you know, snacks, drinks, and things like that for the performers. So she needs help setting up backstage for the performers. We set up tables to sell shirts and raffle tickets and greet people actually inside the event. I man a table near the front gate to take tickets and sell tickets near the front gate. We always need a few people with that. She did not have, when I spoke with her, the exact times that she's looking for. Last year, I think we did 12 noon to 6 p.m., we have done to 8 p.m. in the past, but I think we're probably going to stick to 6 p.m. this year. The ticket price this year is going to be $35. We do not have a lineup just yet. So we're going to start sending out little teasers in our e-blast. You know, mark your calendars, WPFW Blues Fest, August 24th, and then update it as we get more information in. One of our volunteers just stated, which I do believe was Eric Raymond, that yes, the station is not air conditioned. We are informing everyone that Vinny did tell me earlier. We had a meeting right before this meeting that he was making an effort to make sure that all volunteers that he reached out to who agreed to come to answer phones, not just for tomorrow, but also for August, we're informed that our air conditioning is not working, but we do have fans in place. and I mean, it is what it is at this point. We do all recognize that DC summers are DC summers. Let's see, what else do I have here? Well, does anyone have any questions about anything upcoming?
First, Michael, come on and ask your question, and then we'll get to Tony and Ron.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And anyone can answer this question, you, Katia, or Mayuki, because there's some general questions. The first one is the AC repair unit, and we can probably talk off air about that, because I do have a business, and that is part of what we subcontract. And we have a commercial unit that is used, and if it, I don't know what the building, how the building operates. However, we are familiar with that, with repairing and installing commercial units. So there, I would be happy to have one of my people take a look at it, and we'll probably do it for as little as possible, if not free. So we can talk about that offline. I don't want to take up a lot of time on that. Mayuki talked about telecom and the telephone numbers, and I would prefer to talk to our technical person about this, because I do know that we had a T1 line, and a T1 is 24 phone numbers, which should include, 0893 and all the other numbers. So that is something else. I don't know about us, an interim manager making those kinds of decisions. I'd like to have a better understanding of that, because my understanding of T1 is a little different. So that's another issue that I think we may want
to. Well, I'm sorry, Michael, maybe I can send an email to Mo and copy everybody, yes. But Mo is on vacation right now, and the other engineer is the one who's working with it and trying to resolve the situation while Mo is gone. In terms of the air conditioner, there's not any point to me to spend any, not even if it was less expensive, unless it's free. There's no point investing any money.
I do, and I feel you.
I'm sorry?
I feel you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay.
And the third was, can we provide, we've been around for 47 years, and the SEC has been around since the 1910s. I don't know how long. However, I would believe, in my understanding of certain things that we can and cannot do, have been standard SEC rules and regulations. And am I to understand that these are some new implemented FCC rules that have been put in place that was not in place before?
No.
Michael, I think, can we take this offline and talk about it?
Okay, okay.
I'm having a problem with my, so I'm getting every other word. It's apparently my computer, not yours, but I don't understand everything you're saying. But again, it seems like it's a longer conversation you want to have with Mo.
Okay, and let me just add this. And between you and Katia, maybe you guys want to think about this, to really educate not just our programmers and our volunteers, but our audience, if there is such a move that has taken place, to inform us as to what has taken place. Because I've heard about some new changes in terms of the broad spectrum of what is happening. We call it the Minister of Information. And related to George Orwell's 1984. However, I don't know whether or not we're talking about the same thing. So I would appreciate it if we could know more about that in terms of a wider spectrum of being educated about that. And finally,
you're talking about the FCC guidelines, correct?
Okay.
Talking about? No, I'm asking, is that what you're talking about when you said wider education? You're talking about the FCC guidelines?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, I am. And I was going to say, I think his name is John, that's training the 900 people. We have smart people in our radio station that once they learn that, they can train our people. Irene and Bill, that's what Zoom is all about. Right?
Okay. Thank you. All right, Tony.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Sotiria mentioned that the Cash App, the new Cash App account, was verified as nonprofit. And my question is, does the IRS allow for tax deductions now that it's verified as nonprofit, or is it still as before that they don't recognize it for tax deduction?
Well, it's not that the IRS didn't recognize it as tax deduction, to my understanding, because not a tax expert, Tony, and this is Sotiria speaking. But my what I noticed is that, you know, since you can make your tag whatever it is you want, that's all the information we get when you donate to us. So what I would get, is, prime example, my personal hashtag is $NickJoy. So it's NickJoy. When I donate through Cash App to the station, that's what the station receives. So there's no other information to make it tax deductible. You see what I'm saying? Like, there's no address information. There's no legal name information that the station is necessarily receiving from me through Cash App.
Okay.
But there is a function within Cash App about filing taxes and getting tax receipts that I found personally. But since I don't know all the intricacies of that, you know, I don't feel comfortable trying to inform the programmers, or especially not the audience, on how that works, because I don't know how that works on a legal perspective. But within the app, as a person using it, there are ways to extract some information, but we just don't get enough information from people to really, you know, use it that way. Because if you are in our system as Anthony Leon and you have a hashtag of T Lion, and, you know, like, all these, nothing is going to tell us that this is all the same person. Nothing's going to tell us the address to link these people together. That's the problem with it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, Ron, I think Ron has a question.
Yeah. As you start preparing for the publicity campaign for the, and this is to Katia and Miyuki, is there anything that we've done in the past with, to promote the Blues Fest that we won't be able to do, this go around, as, once again, as you start preparing for the campaign, to let people know what's happening?
Things that we won't be able to do,
In terms of promoting.
Because of
the new guidelines, right?
That feels like a broad question. My first thought is no. That's my first thought. But when I think about it further, I mean, in the past, we've advertised in local papers and things like that for the Blues Fest. I don't know if we will have the funds to be able to do that. But as far as
I'm just talking about our on-air promotions.
Okay, so with our regulations.
And Miyuki. Yeah, Miyuki can help with this also, and Katia. The question is there anything that we've done promotional wise to promote the Blues Fest on our airs that we won't be able to do this time?
Other than the sticking to the regulations, like, we will be able to put up PSAs saying that the event is coming. What we won't be able to do is basically add flair to those things. You know, like, we won't be able to speak about them the way we once did. Come join us out in, you know, beautiful Pomunkey, enjoy the weather, with the wonderful artists we're going to be promote, you know, we won't be able to use that type of language. But as far as I know, I don't think, and as you said, Katia and Miyuki may be able to speak to it further, but as far as I know, I don't think we're going to have, like, other than the more restrictive language in our PSAs, we will still be able to run our PSAs. Those, I don't know if we specifically said that the language that we talk about is, that's being regulated is specific to on air. So the things we send, we put on social media, the things we send out in e-blasts can include the more flowery language, let's say, to describe an event and just, you know, where we're hosting something in the event itself. So we can still do that, but on air, yes. How we speak about it is going to be just WPFW is hosting its annual Blues Fest, you know, time, date is essentially, and for more information, you can visit or more information is available at.
And can the bands be mentioned?
I do believe we can list the bands. We can say so-and-so will be performing. Pitchback will be performing. You know, we can, but we can't say, you know, the wonderful Pitchback, you know, quartet. We can't say that, but we can say that they will be there.
All right. Thanks, Natalia.
You're welcome. There's Bill.
Hey, now.
Hey. And I'm sorry, I can't really see people in order. I'm assuming Bill is the next person, so I apologize if he's not.
I think I am. Thanks, Sataria. So, you know, this FCC compliance issue is really going to be tricky.
Correct.
And just to piggyback, just to mention, I think Mr. Byfield said, you know, that's what Zoom is for. So once the PFW programmers are trained, you know, I like to receive the training, because we are on the air, myself and Irene, but that's not the purpose of what I'm saying right now. I have a question about the new Cash App.
Okay.
The new Cash App. What phone number or whose phone number is that account anchored to, and what bank account is that anchored to? And, the second question would be, cause this stems back to an earlier fundraising drive. And I know a couple of people who did not donate the next time we had a drive because they didn't receive a tax deduction notice for their donation.
For their donation, exactly.
Yeah. So, you know, have you taken steps on that for, you know, just for the future? I'm not harping on the past, but for the future, because there are some people that really watch their money.
Oh, I definitely understand that.
Yeah.
We are looking for, hopefully, we are looking to incorporate a different data software in which people will be able to personally, individually, access their accounts and retrieve that information, but it would also be easier for us to send it to them because some tax information we actually are supposed to send through the mail. But as far as the tax thing is concerned, the new, and I'm sorry, I think I didn't write down the first question you asked.
Oh, Cash App. What telephone, you know, Cash App is tied to somebody's telephone number.
Right. The telephone number I put in, it asked me for a telephone number when I set it up. I put in the station phone number. I tried earlier to see if it would pull it up. And to be honest, I tried it a couple of times. And I did had varying levels of success with that. Putting in the phone number, which is why I really want to push the actual cash tag of $ WPFWFM, because it, and you're right, we can access Cash App through phone numbers.
Yes.
The old phone number that was in there was not to the station. So I changed it to the station's phone number, but when I went into it to try and look it up to see if it would pull it up, sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't. But that's something we can work on and try and figure out. Maybe there's a better way to put it in, because I also had the thought maybe I have to put the one in first, the 1202-588 in order for it to work. So I've been playing around, just really trying to see, because it's just earlier this week that I really got this finalized.
Gotcha. Okay. The other part to that was what bank account is that Cash App dropping funds into?
It's going to be going to, for now, Truist.
That's a PFW bank account?
It is a PFW bank account.
Okay. Thanks so much. Sounds great.
You're welcome.
Right, thanks everybody. I apologize. I lost my internet. If I disappear again, that will probably be what happens again. But for now, I'm here. Tony, Leon, looks like you're next, and I would like to try and get in at least most of the Finance Committee report before 8 o'clock. So proceed.
Yes, sir. Real quick. So, to follow up, Sataria, if, like right now, if a person calls in or pledges online and they donate the $25 minimum to become a member of the station or the network, if they pledge through Cash App, if I understand you right, then there's no way to connect, to collect that information from that pledge or from that donor to make them members of the foundation too, correct?
Is the information I have right now, you are very much correct, Tony. Mm.
They used to say that with Cash App, if you, they wanted you to put in the email address in the notes so that it could be traced. Would that still work?
It gives us some of the people, but it still doesn't give us all of the people.
Okay.
And I can feed some, I try and add as many of those as I can to the list, but honestly, because the Cash App was really made for you to not be able to trace money, like the original, so it's kind of hard, but when we tell people, and I think that's one of the things Tony was also alluding to, like when we tell people, hey, put your name, put your email address in it, then it does make it easier, and we can put that in our list that we sent to Renee for our election list. We did send the final list through July 4th, but as you all know, there is also a process for people to continue to get themselves added to the list. So
yeah, so definitely to Tony's point, if somebody is trying to get into the system as a new member, Cash App is not the best way. I get it.
It's not the best way. Like, we can make it happen for them, but it takes a lot of effort per individual. But if they really want to, we could probably make it happen.
Okay. Understood. Thank you very much. Mr. Harris.
All righty. Thank you, Dennis.
Yep.
Get my screen going here. Just as a quick note, there is no tax deductible. I know, I think we're talking about maybe two different things. Being able to be a tax deductible situation on Cash App is not there. If you're looking to be given a tax deduction letter, you'd have to put in your complete address in order for a letter to be sent to you.
Okay.
So Cash App, I'm not sure as a platform allows for that. I sent a link in the chat here for folks to look it up. But as it currently is designed, tax deduction is not there. Now, membership may be a different thing. Maybe Sataria and, the management can do that, but, that's the situation. All right. Not a problem. So for our finance committee, We met on July 8th, and the membership for our committee right now, as it stands, is myself, Eileen Rosin, Julie Hewitt, Lou Wolf, Sabu Hakeem, Tony Leon, Kathleen Malloy. We met it at 7 p.m. via Zoom on this past Monday. Our meeting was called to order, roll call. We approved our agenda. We had a point about a report, excuse me, from the interim general manager. We had a definition of the desired outcome from the audit, which was a motion that was passed last month. We had an update on the pro bono, potential pro bono firms and or auditors for that assignment. We discussed our fiscal 25 budget, which first draft is due on August 12th. We also had a clarification and on the rules for membership and absentee and being absent from the actual meetings. And then also we discussed our next meeting dates. The information from management, the current bank balance in the Truist account on 7/8/2024 was $26,886.60. We had some outstanding payables with the broadcast tower rent, which management is still going to get to us. The Verizon service, which is still a information management will provide. There's a VMI bill outstanding, $6,861.10. There are a couple of months of healthcare, which also management will provide that are currently outstanding. There is an HVAC repair service. If you know, this HVAC repair is probably going back, maybe almost 2 years now at this point, $11,615. RRC Nielsen, outstanding balance due to them is $6,960. We currently have, now I think this needs to be updated because this was as of the February 2024 information provided by management. The central services, and as you all know, it's split into two. Pacifica National Office is one piece, and the Pacifica Radio Archives is the other. The National Office, we owe them as of February $176,960. The Pacifica Radio Archives as of February $24,492. I'll pause there before we get into anything else. Any questions on the numbers? Anybody miss anything? Very good. All right. So we discussed during the meeting a review. We actually determined, excuse me, during the meeting that a audit is not the proper term for what the outcome is that we want from this pro bono third party. That the proper term is a review, and that the a review will be conducted of the WPFW finances, and a final in order to get a final activity, in order to know if the financial activity is being recorded properly, and to recommend any process improvements. We're also going to have some language describing the desired outcome of the financial review. That's going to be put together so that when we talk to the pro bono firms, they'll know what we exactly need from them. The committee currently is reviewing a list of potential pro bono firms. I think there's about four or five, and we'll come back with a recommendation once those have been vetted. The committee is also in the process, as I said, of preparing and reviewing our FY25 budget process, which includes some templates that our newly minted finance secretary, Eileen Rosin, has so graciously prepared, and she'll be sending those out to all the chairs of the various LSB committees, requesting information from each committee regarding what it is that they expect to be in their budget for fiscal 25, so that we can properly assign them to the financial reports. The deadline for completion again of our first draft of the budget is August 12th. We will have a meeting next week, July 16th, on this particular budget, and we will meet via Zoom. That's currently what the Finance Committee has done. I'll take any questions. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Is that it? Okay, Verna.
Kamau, at the last meeting, the PMB was considering taking some action against WPFW for sort of, I guess, this punitive action because of the lateness of the budget, or the budget was not balanced, I believe. Is there an update on that situation?
Nobody's contacted me from the PMB. Nope.
So nothing has happened?
Nope. Nothing that I know of. I don't sit in those PMB meetings, so I don't know. If they're talking about it, it's on them.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If there are no other comments for the Finance Committee, it is 7:56 on my clock, so we will, we'll move now to community comment, because there's no point in starting a new section here. So the floor is open for the community. Is there anyone who wishes to speak?
I'd like to speak.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, this is Starbuie calling from Washington, D.C. I have a couple of things. If there is more time at the end, I'd like to go again. I wanted to address the Programmers' Bill of Rights, which I had raised at the last meeting and tried to clarify the history. And subsequent to that, I realized that there was a lack of clarity about a very important point, and that is that when the Program Committee had finally finalized its changes to the document, it was submitted to the LSB at that time, and it was passed. The LSB members, some of them have changed, but, and I don't remember everyone, some of them are still LSB members, but some of the people that I do remember who can witness this or testify to it, if it's not in the minutes of that time, there was Tony Leon, Ron Penchbeck, Donna Grimes, Don Williams, Nancy Sorden, Lou Wolf, Jerry Paris, Joe Brown, Eileen Rosen, Benito, and Jim Brown has passed. And I think that there are other people who are there now who will recall this, but there's certainly ample evidence this was passed. Now, when you pass a document, whether it's a constitution, a statement of mission, or a Programmer's Bill of Rights, there has to be a motion to amend that with arguments for why it should remain the same, or arguments or why it needs to be changed. And I think this is really a serious matter, and I'm not sure that that aspect of things, a serious discussion in the LSB about whether this needs to be replaced or amended, has ever taken place. And given the fact that you've had Eric Ramey, the lady, I'm sorry, who spoke last time, have both been fired since then, as well as, you know, others, their rights would have been protected under that document considerably. And I know that I think it's been discussed in these meetings that Esther has something on file, a criticism of her, because she had raised questions about the trip to Morocco and the broadcasting from Morocco. And that, I'm not sure that that letter has been pulled out of her file and that could be used against her. So this is a really serious matter. And before there's any more work on this bill, I think that there needs to be real clarification that it should be in the nature of amendments. The other point I wanted to make, and this is more a question than I have, there may be good reasons for it, but it seems that almost all of the specials that WPFW does, except for maybe coverage of demonstrations, which do commonly, the big national demonstrations do take place commonly on weekends. So maybe that's the reason, it's a question of balance. But it does seem that a lot of the specials are taking place during the weekday rather than the weekends. And there is, you know, most people are at work during the weekdays when the political programming takes place. It's harder for them to listen. And so to take those days away from the regular political programming, especially at such a very critical time in world history. I mean, our survival is at stake on many, many levels, environment, nuclear, you name it. And rising fascism, I think that there has to be a really good reason why it seems to always be the political programs during the workday that are being usurped for specials. And I'm not questioning the worth of the specials. I'm simply asking why it is that, especially in the case of a musician, it doesn't take place on weekends sometimes. And the other thing that I'd like to raise is that it might be very helpful, especially given the political juncture that we're in, if some of the specials, and you know, they're very interesting, they're often celebratory, but it might be also really good to feature some debates, some, you know, about some of these issues, you know, have different groups on and have different positions. Even a 3-hour discussion where you really have, you know, some debate. I'm particularly concerned, right now there's not much debate about Gaza, but I think Amy Goodman's coverage of the Ukraine is highly controversial, I'll put it that way. This is a neo-fascist government. Some of us believe in Ukraine, and this is NATO aggression against Eurasia to split it up into competing spheres of influence, dominated by the U.S. to exploit the resources. That's been on record for a long, long time. Thank you very much. Hello?
Thank you, sir. Martha Peterson, you're next.
Yes, several questions. The first one is Eventbrite. With the Outreach Committee meeting, we discussed Eventbrite as the sole vendor of all of our events. Is that going to be for... Is that the standard user now, Eventbrite, for all of the events that are going on? Or is that just a proposal and you haven't verified it yet?
Miyuki, is that something you can answer quickly?
Yes, WPFW has its own Eventbrite, using it as an advantage because it's tax, a nonprofit, so it's tax-free. And it's a way that we can keep account of all the numbers of all the participants. Again, trying to have control and limit it as possible so that we can maximize the use of our resources. But yeah, Eventbrite is what we're using. WPFW has one, and that would be the one that we would ask you.
Okay. So that's the final decision about Eventbrite?
To be frank with you, I have not discussed with Robin. I'm not sure what it is that you're referring to with the issues, and I apologize. I'm not getting every word of what everyone's saying, and I try to get off and come back on. It's not making a difference.
It sounds like,
but,
yes,
if you want.
Excuse me, Dennis, I didn't hear
you. I lost you. What did you say?
I said it sounds like as of now, that's the current policy. That's what it sounds like.
Hmm. Yeah, but I'm saying, what I was going to say is, Martha, let's talk another time, and let me talk to Robin, be sure, but I'm pretty sure that's the way we want to do. That way you control all the money goes to that one event, and then all the money is accounted and given credit to that event before it's given to the station. And there was some question that somebody had about the whole payment of things. What the PA does is they take out whatever, after the money comes in, the money's taken out and paid from there, and then the remainder is given to the station. The bulk of it is like 90 whatever percent is given to the station.
90, okay. All right. Well, yeah. Okay. Next question. I was listening to, your conversation about, violations committed by programmers. And I'm wondering, in the case, since it's just one time you commit a violation, that's it, you're out. Is there a grievance policy in place for non-paid staff if that should happen to happen to a programmer and they, want to appeal? Is there a grievance policy in place for them?
I'm sorry. I'm not sure if there's one. I don't think it's proper. I mean, I could respond to the issues of question of
Esther and the other volunteer, but I don't think it's appropriate to do it in an open session with everybody. But we can talk about it with that person or in closed session. In terms of policy, Tom Cole has been working on the personal handbook and a programmer's book of rights along with several other programmers, and I believe Irene as well. It's pretty much completed. We met with John, the I'm sorry?
I said we are taking that up for discussion and approval this evening.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying, so that would be the document that I assume that they would be using for that. But I'm frankly at this juncture, I don't know where it is.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty hard for the programmers. The last thing, relocation. I know the relocation committee hasn't given their report yet, but I'm wondering how much has been raised to go towards relocating WPFW. Will they be ready in December to move out of where we are now? And Oh, one other question for Sitaria. You say that you all are in the process of getting the gifts that have not been distributed yet. I'm wondering how far back are you going to go when you decide to get those gifts that people are waiting for a couple years?
Sitaria is gone already, so let me just say, I know that she told me, I asked her the same thing, what do we have outstanding? So she's in the process of identifying that. We'll have a better idea of the totals next week.
Okay, and if the relocation committee, if possible, they could give us an amount that they've raised so far to relocate. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Zoom user.
Yes, good evening. My name is Jonathan Love. I'm an attorney, and I've been asked by my client, Munda Musakwai, to make some remarks on his behalf in reference to some claims that were made against him at the last LSB meeting by Ms. Millie Ware. Yes. And I wanted to bring to this body's attention that on July 3rd, Senior Judge Mize for the District of Columbia Superior Court took an oath or rendered an oath and took testimony. And at the end of that testimony, Judge Mize dismissed the claims against Mr. Musakwai and found them to be unfounded. And I wanted to say in defense of his reputation, of his good name, that there were statements that were made here that were just patently untrue, if not exaggerated. And I'd ask this body to take that in consideration as it's making any decisions that can affect either WPFW or Mr. Musakwai. Ms. Ware's claims were unfounded, and a judge, an impartial judge who had an opportunity to listen to both sides, determined quickly that those claims were without merit and that her case should be dismissed. And that's what I wanted to bring to this body's attention, so that Mr. Masakwai's good name would not be besmirched by someone who has a personal vendetta. But this isn't the forum to air evidence, but it is the forum to correct the wrong and to correct the record. And that's what I'm here to do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Miyuki, is your hand up from before? All right, I'm going to go to Cebu. Cebu, you have the floor.
Yes, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Real quick, I keep hearing about Robin. As far as I know, the last two or three outreach meetings, Robin has not been there. I know she's involved in doing the fundraisers and stuff for the station. But I would like to just make an invite to Robin to attend the outreach committee's meetings. We did see her Sunday, and one of the, individual who does one of the fundraisers, they did talk, and she said that she was going to get in contact with her, but I just wanted to make it sort of official that, you know, she's invited to the outreach community committee so that we can work on these different fundraisers. That's about it for me. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Sabu. Julie.
Thank you, Dennis. First, I wanted to just start off and say thanks to Miyuki and Kati and Sotaria for their reports. That's fabulous information. And I also wanted to say I, too, very much appreciated the July 4th programming. I thought it was fantastic. And so shout out to all the programmers who helped with that. I mean, it's the kind of thing that makes PFW unique, right? I wanted to speak briefly to the bylaws amendment vote that's going to come before this body. I wanted to make a couple of points because I decided not to send.
Would you like to identify your role?
Well, I actually am the PMB secretary at the moment, and
Mr. Chair, I think such comments would be inappropriate at this time from someone, unless the other board members, also given that kind of opportunity.
I disagree.
Okay. For a community comment. Thanks. I mean, I'm not on the LSB, so
you are on the PNB.
I'm not on the PNB.
I'm allowing
the PNB secretary.
That's not the same thing, sir. The thing that I wanted to add was about this amendment is one of the things that I think, some people are thinking that the bylaws amendment is anti-democratic, and I don't believe that it is, and here's the sense in which I think it is not. So someone can be on the runners-up list having gotten one vote, right? And so what this bylaws amendment would do is say, hey, the LSB has to approve someone, and if there's only one vacancy on the LSB, that means that person would have to at least get 12 votes before they would be put on the LSB. Okay, so I think that's more democratic, not less democratic. The second point I want to make is that the bylaws amendment would put some guardrails on the process. And so one of the things it would do is prevent what I have seen happen in the past, where there's a vacancy and maybe a chair isn't on top of filling the vacancy immediately. And so a delegate brings, someone they want to be on the LSB to the meeting and gets people to vote on that person in public. And it feels perhaps more like an ambush than an actual, honest process where everyone knows in advance what's going to happen at the meeting. So that's the second thing. And then the third thing I wanted to make was, The bylaws amendment would say that LSBs don't have to go directly to the runners up list, right? And here's an example of a situation where you might not want to go directly to the runners up list. Suppose you're an LSB where you've got a GM position to fill and you know someone who isn't on the runners up list, but they have extensive HR experience, that you could recruit that person to be on the LSB to help make sure that the process of filling the GM vacancy was done, by the books and doesn't subject us to a lawsuit, and that might be a temporary need at a station. And that would be a reason to pick someone else who's not on the runners up list. There's nothing about, the amendment that would prevent an LSB from saying, no, we actually don't want to do that. We want to go straight to the runners up list. So it's really up to the LSB in the end. And so I just wanted to say that it's not taking power away from the voters who, after all, also vote in secret. So those are my comments. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Daryl.
Thank you. I wanted to say I'm a secretary of a local station board at KPFA. And as a secretary, the old bylaws are very problematic because like one year there was write-in votes and I was given a list of 20 names of people who got one vote. And I was told, why don't you go ahead and randomly choose, and this was by a teller of the election, go ahead and choose which one, randomly to put on. And I said, I can't do this because I am one person as a secretary. So another thing is, as a secretary, 2.5 years later, after somebody has been in an election, it's very hard for me to get contact information, figure out where they are, figure out if they're still a member. So that is pushing the role of the national election supervisor, who has already vetted people, who has already gone through that process when the voters voted. And then the voters who have voted and who got elected, it's better for them to be able to, in a democratic form, with the input of, you know, putting it on the air and getting nominations from listeners all over the station range. It's much more democratic to get those nominations that are widespread. And then for the board who are elected, who are representative, to find a person. So I do encourage you to vote in support of the bylaws amendment so that we can actually have democracy. And I also want you to know that people in California are not just like part of some kind of cult or something. We are all working to try and make Pacifica strong right now and help it at this very, very, very challenging time. And I hope that we can work together to build strong LSBs to do that and definitely strong national board. Thank you.
Thank you. And of course, all the LSB delegates will have an opportunity, if you so desire, to speak to this issue when it comes to the floor later this evening. Any other comments from the public? All right. Star, you requested more time. You can have one more minute and then we will wrap up. Oh, wait a minute before we go to you, Marcia.
Good evening. And just very quickly, back to the matter of Ms. Ware's lawsuit. I think there was a witness who was not there, might not have even been called. And I don't know that anybody has actually slandered anyone's good name, especially since there was somebody present who could have spoken to that. And if we're going to resort to building up one side's reputation on this platform, we need to make sure that everybody else has the same opportunity.
Thank you. Is anyone else before we double dip? Okay, Star, 1 minute. Are you still there? Hello, Star Bowie. Going once, going twice. All right, that will conclude community comment. We will move on with the agenda. Next item is the Development Committee. Irene, have something for us.
Good evening, everyone. And before I say the report, I am the witness that was there when Millie was threatened. I was not called as a witness at this hearing. I don't know what happened at the hearing, but I'm not beseeching anybody's name because I was there and heard the threat. So slander is the only defense to slander is a lie. And we're not lying. I'm not lying. I don't know him from Adam and don't have an axe to bear. Except he threatened a woman.
Is this all a development
report? All right. That's no more of that. Development Committee, Irene.
Development Committee did not meet. However, we did not have a quorum, but we did decide to do a calendar of events, and we'd like that calendar of events to be considered not only the LSB events, and the WPFW events. We intend to color code them so that there's a distinct difference. I'm just want to know from you, Dennis, whether or not you are requiring our events to be Eventbrite. It's not, is it a requirement for LSB events to become Eventbrite? I'm sure Robin can make the decision for WPFW to make that call. But I think it's the call for the LSB to decide whether we want to use Eventbrite.
All I can say is that the LSB treasurer, has determined that in most cases, Eventbrite is an effective means. I'm not in a position to require anyone. Again, it's a question of the primary thing is the bookkeeping on the back end. If anyone is willing to do all the work to keep track of everything, and wants to avoid Eventbrite, so be it, unless we have a policy vote, which I'm not interested in doing right now. But again, the treasurer has determined that it's, in most cases, it is a safe and effective means of, keeping track. Is there anything you'd like to speak to on that?
I just want to finish my report.
Okay, go ahead.
And so, we're going to work with Sataria and, work on a calendar so that we can make sure we're not falling all on top of each other and we're not, in conflict with anything that the radio station is holding, and so that we can maximize our constituency there. Also,
Can I just ask quickly, where will that calendar be? Will that be available?
We're working on it now.
Okay.
At least I've started it, and I need to send it to Sataria and let her see it and fill it in some blanks on WPFW events as well. We also are supporting the LSB, events that are coming up. The Blues Festival first, and then the 5K. We're working on the marketing for the 5K so that it could be a more widespread event. I'm waiting for the decision on the flyers. And, that's it.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Okay. Let us move then to the, relocation committee.
Dennis, are you able to give me the ability to share the screen? I wasn't able to email this report, report to everybody.
Yep.
Whatever the one is that's not audio. I don't know if you can. Oh, perfect. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right. Hopefully everybody can see that. All right, this is the Relocation Committee report. Currently, the members of the Relocation Committee are myself as a chair, Adele Stan, Verna Avery Brown, Ronald Pinchback, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Wayne Bruce, Robert Gordon, Dennis Williams, Miyuki Williams, Mo Thomas, and Stephanie Wells. The committee currently meets every Wednesday except for the second Wednesday of the month, which is a conflict with our LSB meeting. Now, what we determined at the last meeting was that we'd try to give each of our members an overview of where we are, how we kind of started, and some of the accomplishments that the committee has been able to successfully obtain. So right now, the goals and overall strategy of the committee, which has been the case since last year, is to secure an office or retail space within the Washington, D.C. proper or the immediate suburbs, the minimum space requirements for effective and efficient operation of the station has been determined to be 2,210 square feet. The targeted cost for the annual lease for this space is $120,000 or a cost per square foot of $35 or less. That's a result of $10,000 a month. If you multiply the square times the 35, it brings it to about $6,500 a month. So we're looking to be within that range. The goals and strategy of the committee is based on the current operations of the organization, including a return to in-person meetings and hosting community events to fulfill the mission of the organization. Our finances, a rough estimate of the cost to move the station has been budgeted at $200,000. It will include the following, securing the lease, architecture and build out of a new space, cleanup and move out of our current space. Fundraising is underway, and that has been targeted to be $200,000, which would make, hopefully, our relocation efforts budget neutral, a zero impact to the bottom line. The timing for this relocation is obviously no later than our lease expiration date, which is December 31st, 2024. Moving down, we've got a list of our properties that we've actually viewed to date. You can see them there. I won't read them all off, but they consist of a range of properties in the Northwest Quadrant. We've seen some properties in Silver Spring, Maryland, one in Southeast, and, of course, Arlington, Virginia as well. We do have another list of properties that we're still considering working with our current broker. Again, you can see them there, several in Silver Spring, mostly to get some comps on a property, above that we already visited. And of course, both, again, the Northwest Quadrant, Tacoma Park, Maryland, kind of just over the DC, line there. And again, in Silver Spring, some of the current accomplishments, for the committee, we did engage, just recently with a new broker, the Ganau Group, and they're working closely with us to both vet the list of properties that we're considering and also to assist us with any communications with those we've already visited. If you'd like to see the minimum space requirements, I can send that to you. Actually, I'll send it as an attachment with this particular report as well. So to date, we've raised, that's a typo. We raised approximately $52,000, for relocation. So with that said, I'll take any questions.
Donna Grimes.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. Kamal, you said there's a Southeast property. I didn't see it on that list. Where is that property?
It's more so on Capitol Hill, 1442 Pennsylvania Avenue Southeast.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
More questions about relocation? Vanessa.
I'm a member of the committee, but I just want Kamal to speak to the issue of whether any of these properties would minimize the need for a large sum of cash to be raised to make the space appropriate for our use.
Right now we've engaged, both an architect and, well, through the broker, excuse me. We've got an architect, and a GC, general contractor, to kind of give us an idea of what it would cost on a few of the properties. Two of the ones we've targeted and the properties we've already viewed, would be the 1110 Bonifant in Silver Spring. I've spoken to the committee, to the board about that already. And, we've also, considering the 4340 Connecticut Avenue Northwest. But that firm number, which is what we're seeking, or at least a much tighter estimate, is something that the, Ganau Group, our broker, is working on for us. So we'll have more to speak to that when they're done with their process.
Thank you.
Not a problem.
Okay. Thank you, Kamal, for the report. I had asked about the property on Georgia Avenue, the 7828. Can you give any information? I don't see it on the list. Can you share what happened to that property or what's going on with it, please?
That property was viewed. I have it at 7826 Eastern Avenue Northwest. Is that the one you're speaking about?
Yes, the one that's near Georgia Avenue. It had the parking, it had lots of space, so on and so forth. And I think I asked in the last meeting what was taking place with it, and you said it was on the list, but I don't think you have it on the list this time. Correct?
It is on the list. It's number six. We viewed that property. We do have a recording and a video of that property. If you'd like to see it, I can send it over to you. Currently the broker is engaged, with that, property owner, and, we'll get, more firm details in terms of cost and what they'd be considering, if anything, for us to be able to move forward with it. But that is on there, number six, when I send this out to you, 7826 Eastern Avenue.
Can I, all right, I thank you. One quick thing about that, because I was on the visit, team for that one. I know that the initial space that was recommended was on the lower level, which was a very large space. And it turns out that that is not, accessible for us because the elevator does not work. It's unreliable and it's a winding staircase down. And so the space that's being considered there is currently, being used as an optometrist's office. And the doctor is the owner of the building, who would have to agree and figure out how to basically redesign that space. Because the vacant space would not work. So we're looking at a different space on that building.
And that's the space I was asking about, yeah. Dennis. Yeah. I understand the lower space was not available, but I did mention at the last meeting the space you just mentioned.
Okay. Sorry. Michael.
Am I, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So, Kamal, do we have a drop dead date on when we have to move? And if not, or assuming that we run into, that date, do we have provisions for an extension? And do we also have an alternative backup in the event that we don't find a place at that deadline date?
So the deadline date that is rough is about 2 months out from December 31st. So you're talking about October. That would be to us in order to make sure we get a sufficient amount of time to do any build out that would be necessary. There is no, plan B. We had an opportunity, that fell through to extend the lease at 1990 where we currently are. That property owner has determined that they are not entertaining any more extensions on the lease. The plan B is to be out. That's really where we are right now in terms of a backup plan.
So let me play devil's advocate. There is a tenant that have a lease that goes beyond December the 31st, in that building. That's correct, right?
Which building are you talking about?
1990.
Okay.
And in the event that we don't, meet that deadline, they're not going to evict us. They're just going to charge us whatever they're going to charge us, right? You know, when I look at our constancy rules, the type of money that we're trying to raise and how exhaustive our fundraising efforts are right now, I would want to think that it is the responsibility of the relocation committee to think like that, to think of a backup plan, in terms of, you know, I heard Miyuki talk about, it might have been Westminster Church, when we were at, Champlain. We did have a church that also offered us space. In fact, more than just one church, other places. So I just want to implore the committee to think like that. And finally, I know there is a lot of space out there because of the times that we're living in. The real estate commercial market has collapsed. And, you know, there's a lot of space, but maybe not amenable to a radio station. But I just wanted to put that in terms of food for thought.
Good.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mariah?
Thanks. Good evening, everybody. Thanks for the report, Kamal. Just a quick question, a clarification question. Did Miyuki say earlier that in order to save the $51,000 that we had to be out by September or December?
September.
So what Miyuki's referring to is that we have an interim period. So technically, when we first entered into a lease at 1990, the ending date for that lease was always September 30. We extended that and then added a 3-month kind of addendum to that extension from last year to get us to December 31st. What she would like to do is avoid the 3-month period between September and December to avoid paying that 51. So yes, according to what she's saying, absolutely. Ideally, we could get out of there in September and not pay the 51. What I'm kind of talking about is, you know, the actual timeline that we have. We've been afforded the ability to get out of there, no later than December 31st. And, based on what, brokers and, their contacts have said, roughly permitting and build out about a 2-month period. So that's why I'm kind of giving us, closer to October. So a couple things, couple moving parts there. Yeah.
Yeah. That was going to be my follow-up question from what you said is whether any of the addresses on the list actually allow